Carnival World, Chapter 49. Orlando Bard strolled back and forth along the front of the stage of his establishment, the Adventurer's Inn of Carnival City, located on a planet light years from Earth. At 6'3", he was dressed in dark brown leather fantasy role-playing ranger's armor, wearing as well a hunter green cape and red feathered archer's cap, a black belt. He cut quite the dashing figure. His orc metal hand-and-a-half axe was propped against the stage props bookshelf near his red cushioned stage chair. Bard's finely crafted elven bow peeked out above his shoulder. He deftly pulled out a copper arrow and dramatically waved it, brown and white turkey fletching aimed towards the audience. "This," intoned the bard dramatically, "is a specially designed arrow, crafted from a special copper alloy, which disrupts the enhanced regenerative ability of most cryptids." Following a warm smile and a crisp bow, Orlando continued with his finest showman's brogue. "Tonight, folks, do I have a show for you," he continued in his finest full and sweet lyrical baritone. "Buckle up, boys and girls, kiddies and doggies. Tonight I will be sharing werewolves, rogue Sasquatch, Maleks, and the Project Big Bird camera crew." Bard's sharp eyes circled Commander Zale's briefing room through the long glass panel that separated the briefing room from the actual command center with its banks of filing cabinets and computers. He watched non-coms and officers scurrying about their routines. When Zales put down his coffee cup and called the meeting to order, Orlando refocused his attention on the commander. "Welcome, Bishop Connor. I am not calling in a complete ranger team for today's meeting, just Ranger Kai and Ranger Maria Orzig-Schmidt. I see that Padre is already with you, Orlando. Good. Anselm is also on his way. The bishop, although attending the meeting, will not be joining the mission." A podcast film company from Earth contacted Patrick Connor and asked him to provide escort for their film crew. Since most of them are Latino, they were very insistent that Brother Anselm Cruz, who had celebrity status on Earth, come along on the venture as an interpreter. Anselm, as you may know, is a practicing pacifist, and his joining of St. Patrick's Guild was contingent upon his ultimatum that he not be required to bear arms. "Will that be a problem for you, Orlando?" "No, I have guided a few fishing trips where my clients did not bear arms. As a part of his or her contract, we provided guide service and protection." Sales continued, "Good. This venture will also require a specific and additional special non-disclosure agreement. Security at the Skydeck will have the paperwork ready for you to sign just before boarding the blimp tomorrow morning. As a part of that agreement, any treasure found on this expedition is to be handled as follows. Any advanced technology objects will be taken by my science department. Any pottery, books, scrolls, or religious figurines that are found will be given to the archaeology and film team. Any other treasures, such as swords, armor, gold, silver, gems, and other items of that ilk, under $500 in value, may be kept by the finder. Any amount in excess of that value will be sold after your expedition returns, and the profit divided equally among all team members. The project name is called Big Bird Filming Expedition. Your job, Bard, is to take the film crew to the edge of the Penal Colony Mountains and film both Jackalheads and Rogue Sasquatch. It will take two trips with the Skipjack, so that is why we are going to send you via blimp. We will drop your team off on top of the old ruins of the ancient Snake Temple Butte. That ruined temple, as you may know, is located near and above the border, outside of the Penal Colony Mountains. The edifice is on top of a hill that overlooks the ancient crossroads. That gray cobblestone crossroads, of course, is just inside the border of the Penal Colony Mountains, and quite visible from the temple top. The floor of the temple is intact, but the open-air pillars and rubble from the kneeling pews, altar, and Grecian-style columns are scattered down the hillsides, and lately there has been an uptick in activity, according to the Sinus of Cherus. In the morning and afternoon, we will send a skipjack with a mess crew to provide meals. You will have sea rations and snack bags sent in vermite containers for lunches. We will also send a gas Coleman stamp stove, unless Bard can supply one of his own, so that you may make coffee in a separate container of boiled water for tea. The mission scientist we are sending with your team does not drink coffee. Intel from Sheriff Bo, whose office is near there, says that the crossroads area there is commonly known for passing jackalheads and rogue Sasquatch. Under no circumstances, Bard and Rangers, are you to cross the border into the Penal Colony territory. You will meet, but not film, Sheriff Beauregard's team, who will contact you at the designated point. The film crew has agreed to use blurring technology to conceal the faces of everyone but the film team. Sheriff Beauregard and his team will meet with your team for breakfast on the second day of the mission. If they are filmed accidentally, the footage will need to be edited out of the documentary. We will supply modifications to the film crew's equipment, which will neutralize the ability that some cryptids possess to blur their photos or drain equipment or battery energy. Care will also be taken by the film crew to avoid shots or edit out any sequences that could show that they are not on Earth. We have a team of scientists who specialize in filmography who will assist the Earth film crew with that task and audit the film following their return. One of them, Dr. Daphne Kimball, you've worked with her before, Orlando, on the crashed Nazi Bell mission. She will accompany your team and work with the film crew. She is preparing equipment as we speak. Like I usually ask, Bard, what are your suggestions as far as special equipment or tactics, in your opinion? Bard set down his coffee cup. If you don't mind, I have a clarification question, Commander Zales. Zales ran a hand through his white spiky hair with his fine and tapered look, often called a high and tight crew cut. He rolled his eyes and quipped, "A clarification question is fine as long as you don't do your usual Bard routine to keep us in protracted suspense." One or two of the other fine people present may have their curiosity baited, but it will just make me cranky. "Right to the point, then," offered Bard. "I have never been on top of Snake Temple Butte, but I have seen it from a distance. If it is the same one, it is just flat and empty. It looks like there are about 24 broken Grecian-style columns equidistantly spaced around the flat temple floor. It looks like a hill formed around an old petrified tree stump. There aren't any stairs or toeholds to get up there, and it must be almost a mile around it from top to base. Quite steep. We won't be hiking up there. And once we are there, we are getting down without climbing gear and safety harnesses. How are we getting there and then leaving?" "No hiking or climbing, Bard. We've got that taken care of, and we'll detail our plan later in the briefing." Sales concluded, "I'm ready for questions now, Bard." Bard nodded. "Just in case we run into cryptids, I plan on equipping my team with double quivers of copper alloy arrows and corals to negate the cryptid's supercharged regeneration abilities. Your rangers should bring extra rounds of their copper alloy bullets. Your new mercury rounds, in my opinion, will work like the standard and hollow points and standard shotgun slugs worked on that toxic-blooded clown-faced giant in the White Dwarf mission. The mercury rounds will, indeed, blow holes bigger than the hollow points, but heal almost instantly." "Duly noted, Bard. Continue," remarked Zales crisply, following an impatient hand gesture. "Point is, chances are," Bard chuckled and ventured, "if there are cryptids on this venture, most likely we won't see many. And more than that, usually they are formidable enough without any high-tech gadgetry. If you remember, that clown-faced giant had a belt contraption that gave him limited invisibility and non-satellite detection from the Ebony Knight satellite. Bard said to himself, Lombard, Thales and his rangers do not know that the Ebony Knight has space-to-surface lasers, and if they find out, they may try to take them for study and to fulfill their mandate to find high-tech items to justify the expense of continuing Earth's Carnival World research project. Bard cleared his thoughts and continued, We aren't coordinating with the sentient computer that operates that satellite, as Sino-Sheriffs do. So, that being the case, we will not know when it is monitoring our continent during our mission. That being the case, during the time that Beauregard and his other sheriffs are not with us, if we don't see Jackalheads or Rogue Sasquatch, they may still be around. And if that invisibility tech is more common than we think, we may not be able to see the enemy until it is too late. And if they have that tech, even the Ebony satellite scanner may not see it in time to warn us through Sheriff Bow. And while we can see it faintly at night to know where it is patrolling, during the day we won't know its location around the planet. It just constantly circles the globe, scanning the world while doing its daily weather and population. So, for the same reason, chances are if we do see one or two cryptids, we need to keep in mind that as things go, there is always a chance we will see more than is normal. Hopefully, since the force fields that once guarded the penal colony boundaries are just a memory, we still rely on the deterrence that has resulted from the constant centuries-long watch care of the Ebony Knight and the Sino-Sheriff patrols. That deterrence is all that keeps the border safe and quiet for us. Affirmative, Bard. Inserted Zales with a scowl. We do know about its orbital monitoring. We found the research colony where the data was studied, and now that we can translate ancient, middle, and new Enelkian, thanks to the materials scholars Zazi provided to us, we keep tabs on that data stream. Thank you for your briefing, Orlando. Any questions, Orlando Bard? First, is it our usual fee? Second, will the whole of Alpha Team be joining us? And third, which members of my Bounty Hunters Guild can assist with the Project Big Bird filming expedition? Commander Zales cleared his throat and focused his blue steely eyes on Bard. Yes and no on the fee. I will pay you the usual triple hazard pay with no taxes levied. However, the leader of the film crew, when they arrive, will offer you a separate compensation package. The leader of the Earth film crew will discuss that issue after he arrives. Concerning your second question, Orlando, only Kai and Schmitty will be accompanying you. The rest of their crew is busy on a newly discovered ancient Atlantisian scientific outpost in the far southeast, just inside our patrol area, of course, where the Irish Pub Command and their assigned rangers would be investigating it. To answer your last question, Bard, is a bit more complex. Padre, of course, is already here. You may invite the elf princess. My men, he rolled his eyes briefly and rolled his hand, fingers fluttering upwards, towards Ranger Maria Orzik Schmidt. And my women warriors have informed me that, even as a child, especially when you take into account that Nordic elf super soldier ability she has, the young elf maiden is a strong fighter. As for Gordo, he's a good fighter, and he makes a better pack mule than any two of my soldiers. I'll grant him that. That said, the whole of Carnival City is well aware of the constant love-hate relationship between him and Ranger Schmidt. Zales turned his gun-turned eyes onto Maria and snapped as she stared, tight-lipped, at her untouched coffee cup. I don't give a fat rat's tuchus if they fight or flirt when they're off duty. I want you to know right from the get-go, Bard, if they start arguing, or if they start chatting like magpies, or run off to rut as soon as the sun goes down, I am coming with the skipjack. I will haul his half-orc carcass back here straight away. and I haven't decided yet if I'm going to send him off to the Bounty Hunters Guild with a few choice words or park his green paducah in the brig for a week. I am not going to be a happy camper, Orlando, if I need to waste my valuable time doing an extraction run because of Gordo. I am giving Kai the red cell phone, and their behavior will be part of his daily sit rep. You can bring your pet along, Bard, but you keep a tight leash on him, and I mean it, Orlando. Bard nodded. Will do, Commander Zales. Oh, and one more thing, Bard, snapped Zales crisply. Earth does not have green-skinned soldiers. Tell Gordo that he needs to go to the infirmary and take a pigmentation alteration injection. His skin will be a light to medium brown, with an olive tint for 3 or 4 weeks until the conditioning dose wears off. The she-elf and the half-orc will need to keep their ears covered, too, and use a mouth cover or helmet to hide Gordo's tusks. I am aware, Bard, that filtering technology exists to remove such elements, but this is a time-sensitive project. Wasting time to scrub the film for elf ears and orc green skin and tusks is not acceptable. Just then, the door sentry announced, Colonel Zales, sir! Brother Anselm and the Earth film crew has arrived! Zales remained seated, but smiled warmly but seriously, and welcomed them to their seats and offered them coffees. Welcome! Okay, Big J, said Zales. You've got the floor. Anselm whispered to two short but wiry and very sun-darkened Latino men, interpreting Zales' words. Big J was a muscled but slightly portly man, of just above medium height, no longer young, but not quite middle-aged. Big J's voice was thick, but with hints of a southwestern Earth, United States accent. His voice was unique in that at times it would, especially when he was excited or irritated, lurch into a higher pitch. The large dark forearms that poked out of the sleeves of his black t-shirt were covered with tattoos, including several stylized religious crosses. My arms were tatted up like that, thought Bard, before I had the physical makeover from the sentient computer and medical device in the secret Atlantisian lab behind the goblin caves. I went from Earth-human U.S. cryptid ranger Wraith McKenzie to Orlando, half-elf archer, and bard in the carnival world in less than 24 hours. Seems like more than a lifetime ago. After I passed my evaluation test series for joining the cryptid rangers back on Earth, they souped me up a bit. I passed on the non-human enhancements. They did use chemicals and an advanced technology device on Earth to make me stronger, smarter, faster, and more agile. And then again, Zazi's sentient computer upgraded me one more time and also regressed my age. However, it did not change me into an actual half-elf. And yet, I can see in the dark and hear better than a human should. Not quite sure how that works, but the sentient computer had promised me that it would not add animal, elf, or angel DNA to my body. Big J had a shiny bald head, deeply tanned, with a round face, a permanent 5 o'clock shadow, and an elongated chin dimple. His dark brown eyes, slanted, were hidden behind black plastic glasses and bushy black eyebrows. Hola, everyone. The Earth film crew leader waved with one hand and smiled. I will not be using my real name. My code name is Habali, spelled with a J, but pronounced with an H sound. Habali. Habali means wild boar in Spanish. But don't call me that. Just call me Big J, and we will all be good amigos together. We have a separate financial contract with the military here. My patron, Big Bird, has already fulfilled those financial obligations. Big J turned his gaze upon Orlando. As for you, amigo, this is my offer. Just for guiding and protecting us during this venture, we will pay your Bounty Hunter's Guild $15,000. If we return to Earth with quality footage of a Sasquatch, a jackal head, and meet the Sinusef sheriffs, we will provide you a $435,000 bonus. Me and my crew look forward, amigos, to starting the mission, concluded Big Day. Zales stood up. Thank you for offering us, Big J, the opportunity to share this mission with you. Successful or not, you will have 5 days to complete this mission. I suggest you all get some rest. Tomorrow at 0800 sharp, everyone meet at the sky dock and board the blimp. Expect a pause in boarding as each of you will be inspected and the beta team guard will receive the signatures for your paperwork. Shortly after takeoff, breakfast will be served. At approximately 1400 hours, a skipjack with a mess crew will be sent to the Hilltop Temple Butte site with your evening meal. Everyone is dismissed.